to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian Teaching and Talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we'll have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. It is our prayer that not only do you tune in, but you invite others to tune in, join in the dialogue and discussion. We're going to have a brief monologue, and right after the monologue, our telephone lines will be open. And your invitation, as always, dial the number, call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. That telephone number, lest I forget it, oftentimes I do, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about an issue today that I believe is strategic. We're talking about an issue today that I believe is important and vital for every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot in America to recognize what is taking place on a global basis when it comes to Christian persecution, Christian assassination, Christian annihilation, and nation after nation after nation, including America. The question is, the issue today, should President Trump intervene in the Christian persecution and assassinations, annihilation, slaughters, murders in Nigeria? Should President Trump intervene? And the intervention meaning using military forces of some type, whether boots on the ground or from the air, but entering into the protection of the Christians in Nigeria? That's a question. We're going to have a lot of ramifications tying into that question that should cause us to understand the serious danger of where we are in America and around the globe with Christian persecution. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, outside of the realm of God, outside the parameters of thus saith the word of God, outside this realm of the de facto, uncorrupted, I say that because the Islamic jihadists say our Bible is corrupted, the uncorrupted scriptures, will not find truth. Truth is found only in the Word of God. Now, understand, from the secular standpoint, people say that we're going to talk about truth and a person being sworn in as a witness in a case, in a court case. They swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you, God. I believe that we find in the Scripture truth. If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus identifies that truth. Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you recognize when we search for truth in America, when we look at what is happening on both sides of the aisle with the 42-day shutdown. By the way, just as a little parenthetical footnote, I said the first day of the shutdown, I told my wife, I've told others, I mentioned it on the broadcast, that I believe it would be a 45-day shutdown. It would take that length of time for the Democrats to realize and recognize they could not hide the truth any longer. Today's a day, I think today's the 42nd day, they're talking about sometimes this week, resolving the issue, opening the government back up. But it goes back to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that truth is rejected. I listen, by the way, on that subject, I listened to a Democrat senator being interviewed this morning on Fox News, and she said that it was the Republicans' fault altogether. The Republicans are now finally seeing the viewpoint. The Republicans are the one that's giving in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She absolutely twisted what is truth. Multitudes do that today. And the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually correct even today. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that truth is found in the Word of God. And yet there are a lot of folks today across the nation, around the world, some that are listening today that claim to be Christians, some say they are conservatives and patriots, and yet do not know how to handle the truth. So may I say to you, truth is vital, truth is necessary. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a very profound statement. DeMint, in part, said this: truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the more we see the apostasy, the falling away from the church, the more we see the closing of churches, the more we recognize the woke progressive approach to biblical Christianity in our churches, the more we're going to witness, ladies and gentlemen, something, someone, or something filling that void, that vacuum, when truth, real truth, has dissipated. According to the latest survey, 55% of the younger Americans, that's the millennial age group, 18 to 35 years old and thereabouts, say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, that survey says that each individual in the millennial age group say that each person determines their own version of truth. I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. That's my encouragement, that we stick to the truth, tell it, live it, love it, and be willing to stand for truth even the face of death. And just a little footnote to that. Charlie Kirk did that. He stood for truth. Theological truth, biblical truth, political truth, and was assassinated for it. And that touches on where we're going today in our broadcast, where we think about what is happening around the globe with the slaughter, the assassination, the murder of Christians, the burning of Christian churches, beheading of Christian pastors. Should the President of the United States, should the United States of America become involved in the protection of those internationally, globally, and here in America? I think so. That's my position, and we'll talk about it in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, well, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for a Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flies the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, today, across the globe, there's an insatiable push of Christian persecution. It seems to be enlarging day by day. Now listen, we ought not to think somehow, some way, God's not in control. We ought not to think that somehow, some way, God is not watching and that God cannot do anything about it. But what I want us to understand is from the human standpoint, how we should view it and what we should do in relationship to it. Christians are being persecuted, and in some areas, open slaughter of believers. In every part of the world where Islamic jihadists are in control, Christians are being killed, martyred for their faith, church buildings burned, pastors beheaded, and multitudes by the thousands, yes, by the hundreds of thousands in the 21st century are being murdered for their faith. Now listen, we can go back to the biblical record and find that when the New Testament church was birthed, immediately there was persecution. Christians were being persecuted, prosecuted, and put in jail and martyred for their faith. Saul of Tarsus, prior to being Paul, the great evangelist apostle, Saul of Tarsus would go from city to city to city with death warrants in his vest pocket, searching out those Christians, and would persecute, prosecute, put them in jail, or put them to death. We can study the scripture and find the 8th and the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, where Stephen was martyred simply because of his stand for Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was slaughtered simply because of his pristine witness, because he was God come into flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, we ought not to be surprised, because Jesus said that Christians would be hated and persecuted. In John 15, verses 18 and following, Jesus says, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." That's verse 18. Verse 20 says, "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." That's what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at an article. I'll read a portion of it, open our telephone lines, and start taking our callers. This headline article says that there is demon talk. Watch as the new mayor of Idaho City spews vile rant condemning Christians. It was this article was published November the 7th, 2025. It's relatively new. One more elected official has been caught in a self-promoting video unleashing, perhaps spewing is a better word, a vile and uncontrolled rant in condemnation of Christians. Mayor Don Gokin, G-O-O-K-I-N, of Idaho, called Christians mindless, cult member morons, accused them of white nationalism, and said they can go blank themselves and go to hell. The mayor continued in his rant against Christians. According to one commentator, simply proved the accuracy of the Bible, which the New Testament says of Jesus speaking, "If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first." Ladies and gentlemen, that's precisely what we see happening. And you would think from that standpoint you would not have that kind of blatant condemnation for Christians. And yet we find a little small town right outside of Dearborn, Michigan, because of a Christian pastor's questioning what his city fathers were doing, which, by the way, in Dearborn's 100% Islamic jihadist running the entire city. Every department, every head, Islamic jihadist running it. By the way, we're going to find that in the next 12 to 24 months in New York City with the Islamic communist jihadist that's in charge and as the mayor in New York City. But this article continues. It appears that Gukin, that's the mayor, has unleashed earlier anti-Christian diatribe when his social media has been looked at. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just a small sampling of what we see taking place in America today. Banning the Bible in school, banning the Bible in public venues, banning prayer in the name of Jesus, refusal to allow pastors to pray in Jesus' name in public events. And I could go on and on and on. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood, like I see you all the time, you're dead on point. I forgot the name of the country and the leader of the country. He was in ICE. He wanted to come to America to talk about peace. I think our president told him to stop persecuting Christians and Christians and Jews.
That was the Islamic jihadist from Nigeria. He sat in the Oval Office with the president, and when the president presented him with the facts and told him that he had to stop allowing the persecution, the prosecution, and the slaughter of Christians in Nigeria, then he bragged and said, that's not happening. And President Trump then pulled out the photographs and showed him, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, this is what happened. And the head of Nigeria then looked at the president and said, that's false, that's not true, we do not persecute Christians. When in fact, just in this year, just in 2025, there's been some, I believe some 7,000 or 8,000 Christians that have been martyred, slaughtered. And in the past 10 years, less than 10 years, about 200,000 Christians have been slaughtered in Nigeria alone. But Kenneth, it's not just Nigeria. It's happening and has been for years in Syria. The governmental head's about to change over in Syria. We find that across the nation, around the world. But listen, Kenneth, what most people are not recognizing is the cause of the Christian and Jewish slaughter and persecution on a global basis is because it is taking place in Islamic jihadist-led nations and communities. And one of the things that's happening in America that should cause every Christian to be absolutely petrified as we witness it continue to increase is that onslaught of Islamic jihadists and the demands they're making in America today. There's that battle taking place in just about every state, in the state of Michigan, state of Texas, New York State, and New York City. And I could go on and on. Even right here in Jacksonville, Florida. Go ahead with your question.
Well, I see some Democrats came across the line. I think it was 5 or 8 that did, and Chuck Schumer was, his head was on fire. But they want to keep Obamacare, should I say it like that, that they could take care of the illegal aliens. Because America's going to have to pay for Obamacare, but they do not. Am I right or wrong?
That is correct. Let's back up for just a moment. That is the concept that the demonically controlled Democratic Party wants the nation to understand. They have negotiated, and this within the next few days, they will sign that CR that they've been wanting. The CR will simply carry it until, I believe it is January, where it'll have to be battled out then.
Yes.
But it will continue to allow, just as it is now, to go into January, when the Obamacare subsidies, which have been paid for out of taxpayers' pockets, literally expire December the 31st of 2025. That is about another 45 to 50 days from now. It officially expires. And therefore, the Democrats are trying to force the Republicans, the conservatives, the Republicans, to basically reevaluate what was done in the Obamacare 1,410-page document, which was canceled in the big, beautiful bill that was passed and signed into law. They're wanting the Republicans to back up and give them more time. What they are pushing for now and will push for in January is a one-year extension on the subsidy of Obamacare. That's what they're asking for as a minimum. And you watch what I'm telling you. I'm fearful, but pretty certain in my mind, they'll get that one-year extension. They're wanting that to be a major driving force in the midterm elections, November 2026. They want to be able to tell the public that if you elect a Republican, he's going to take your insurance. He's going to destroy your life. No. He's going to allow millions of babies to die in America because of having no food and no health care. They're wanting it as a tool, a cudgel, to be used in 2026. It is my prayer, and it should be the prayer and desire for every Christian conservative and patriot, to see that the Republicans simply continue to keep a hard stand and not bow, not bend, not give in to the whims, the wishes, and the desires of the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. So, Kenneth, it demands our prayer when it comes to the question, do you think, this is the key question, do you think that President Trump should, if necessary, send troops into Nigeria to stop the Christian slaughter?
In a sense, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I believe that's the only answer. If we do not, then we have faltered and failed, because it's not a matter of just fighting to protect Christians. It's to protect Christians and Jews and all minority entities, because Islam is the one that's doing the pushing, the pressuring, the prosecution, the slaughtering, and the killing in the nation of Nigeria. We need to pray, ask God to intervene, and allow President Trump to make the right choice and the right decision. I'm going to be talking about in a minute, Kenneth, some of the statements Trump has made, some of the statements the media has made, some of the positions and the feelings of some out in society, even within the realm of the Communist Democratic Party, as well as the Republicans. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. The question on the table today, should Trump intervene into the Christian persecution and assassination and slaughter in Nigeria? What should our nation do? What should be our policy and our stand on that? Ladies and gentlemen, I realize that the Lord Jesus Christ reminded us, if the world hates us, remember that it hated him first. If the world persecutes us, remember that it persecuted Jesus first. And that's exactly coming to full fruition as we witness it today. Just think of what is taking place in our nation. I set this as a little perimeter and a footprint, a little benchmark as to where we're going and what's happening. Each and every nation around the globe where you see Christian persecution, Christian slaughter, and Christian prosecution, you will find it's a nation that's controlled by Islamic jihadists. You find in the UK today, because Islamic jihadists completely controls all that takes place in the UK. The political leaders, those that are not Islamic jihadists, have their hands tied. They can do nothing. There's streets in the UK that you cannot read the street signs because it's in Arabic. Some of the areas and communities in the UK, the UK police will not go there because they themselves will place their lives in jeopardy. You have that taking place not just in that portion of Europe, but all of Europe, but primarily you find in the UK. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. So when we look at what is happening today in relationship to persecution, we need to understand the Bible warns us that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous, dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating, destructive days. And that's where we are today. But when we identify persecution, perhaps you ask the question, very simple question, perhaps you're asking, how do you identify Christian persecution? What is Christian persecution? Let me just lay out a few for our understanding, very simplistic level. Perhaps you work with a company and you have a little cubicle where you have your computer and your desk, etc., etc. And you place on the wall with a thumbtack, you place John 3:16. Somebody goes to the boss and says John 3:16 offends them. The boss comes to you and says, that verse is offensive to others. You've got to take it down. That's Christian persecution. What if you go into a city council meeting, as I've been in many, many, many down through the years in our city? Anybody that's leading what is called the invocation cannot pray in Jesus' name publicly. That is not allowed in a public place if it's in a governmental controlled venue. That is not allowed. Some have done that and been shamed, demeaned, and said they could never come back as a result of doing it. What about where you cannot pray, and many today will not be allowed to pray in Jesus' name if it is in an invocation for a public meeting of any type, afraid that somebody's going to be harmed or hurt, or somebody's going to be put upon because you're praying in Jesus' name? What about where pastors are not allowed to pray in Jesus' name in that realm? What about refusing to allow religious exemption for those that hundreds of thousands of military people in particular during COVID had made application for religious exemption. They were summarily denied religious exemption. That is Christian persecution on the very face of it. What about the businesses that were allowed to stay open, but churches were closed during COVID, forced to stay closed? Ladies and gentlemen, what about schools with the textbooks calling Christians white supremacists? I'm looking at a headline. So what? Question mark. Student calls out textbook that describes Christians as white supremacist. University communities often across the United States especially essentially are communes of liberalism. Professors donate the vast majority of the political contribution they make to Democrats. Conservative students often are silenced. Conservative teachers are largely nowhere to be found. But now, one student at the University of North Georgia says it's gone further. With her assigned $100 textbook openly slamming Christians as white supremacists, Kelby, that's K-E-L-B-I-E, Murphy, a senior, bought the assigned book for her course in international public relations. In Chapter 8, the opening passage reads, "An internet search produces the following modifier for identity: corporate, sexual, digital, public, racial, national, brand, and even Christians based and called white supremacist," according to the textbook. Murphy said in an interview, "The way it was worded, it listed several marginalized groups, but then only called Christians to be white supremacists. But the scariest thing is that the book was written back in 2007. Murphy is a devout Christian who was recently baptized in March, and she was inspired by her grandfather, a Baptist pastor in North Carolina, who told, listen to this, her grandfather told her, never back down when it comes to your faith. May I say to you, that's the challenge even today. Never, 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 never back down. Never be ashamed of the gospel. The Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We cannot bow, bend, and submit to any order, any directive, any organization, any structure, structural setup, any governmental authority that says we must bow to political correctness and not stand for Christ. That's my position today. That's the position I've held for less than 100 years now. We need to recognize that we're living in a world where, as I use the term, the walls are caving in against Christians and Jews, and in every case you find it is political correctness carried out by the Islamic jihadists in our world today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article by the ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, says this: "This is a grave escalation. Gavin Newsom declared war on the church, and we're taking him to the U.S. Supreme Court." 5 years later, California Governor Gavin Newsom continues his ruthless crusade to bankrupt a church with crippling multi-million dollar fines for the church's worship service during COVID. It's diabolical. Jesus declared, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Gavin Newsom wants it all, blatantly attempting to seize the church's sacred tithes and offerings. It's an outrage. Jay Sekulow continues, "We're directly representing Calvary Chapel, filing a major appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court to defend the church against the mayor, the governor, Gavin Newsom. It's one of the biggest Supreme Court cases we've ever taken to defend a church. It will impact churches nationwide," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the position that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ stands in jeopardy today. We need to understand that we cannot sit down, we cannot shut up, we cannot be silent. We must be salt and light. We must stand, be verbal, vocal, valiant, and victorious in the end as we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news. Right after the news break, we'll continue our subject, our issue today. Should President Trump intervene in the Christian persecution and prosecution in Nigeria? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
The Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ.